The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jackie McMullen, Tim Kalachuk, Clinton Yates, great to have you here. A sense of urgency. That's what Baker Mayfield says there is going into tonight. Week two, Cleveland versus Cincinnati, a sense of urgency. It's Baker versus Burrow, but you don't need any more than that. Tim Kalachuk, around the horn to you, because I go to you for urgency. What is at stake for Cleveland and Mayfield tonight?
Oh, I think quite a bit. I think there has to be a serious sense of urgency. When you get beat like that by Baltimore, a team in your division, everybody thinks they're going 14-2 again. Pittsburgh looks like maybe they're back a little bit with Roethlisberger. And you're now playing the team that won two games last year. You don't want to see them rocketing past you in a home game, whatever that means. We don't know yet what home games are going to mean to anybody. But regardless, week two, Cleveland had the advantage of flying under the radar. Nobody went nuts about them this offseason. They became the Cleveland Browns again. And we thought with all these good players, maybe they'll sneak up and, you know, be a team
Who is this we? I'm going to Uncle Phil you right now. What do you mean we? You thought
that all the media travels in a herd. We all think the same. Haven't you read that on Twitter?
Herd immunity or herd mentality? Which one is it?
We thought Cleveland might be a wild card. One of us might have picked Cleveland to be a wild card, so that would give Cleveland a real sense of urgency.
Tim Kalachuk, take a mute. Eat a mute for not even having the urgency to tell us it was you all along. We'll bring in Jackie McMullen now. Urgency in week two for these Cleveland Browns?
Well, here's the one thing that Tim forgot to mention. Cincinnati and Cleveland, this is the Battle of Ohio. This is the football team in your same state. And if you think that doesn't matter, you haven't been paying attention to the history of these two teams. If I'm Baker Mayfield, I've got some urgency, too. I averaged under 5 yards a completion in game one.
Yeah.
That's not going to get it done either. And listen, he's the lightning rod, Tony. He's the one everybody is watching. People are rooting for him to succeed, just as many rooting for him to fail. If the Cleveland Browns do well, Baker Mayfield will get the credit. If they don't, he's always going to get the blame.
All right, Clinton Yates. I heard urgency invoked in week two of an NFL season, but these are the Cleveland Browns. We know where they were 2 years ago. We know where they were last year. We know where they are right now, 0-1. How urgent is this night?
It's extremely urgent, and I would go so far as to qualify it as a must-win, because if you lose the Bengals at home in this situation, you have completed the failure. And that's what I'm saying. With Mayfield having been here, I understand that he's gone through all these different coordinators, and he hasn't necessarily been able to have the continuity he wants at the pro level. But I'm sorry. It's been long enough. If I can see you running around that stadium on TV in the commercials, I'd like to believe I see you running around that stadium actually scoring touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And that's not what's going to happen if they lose. And so for me, this is massive. Just for the basic dignity of who the Browns are in terms of their development.
Right.
Sure.
I want to go back to Kalachuk, because besides skirting around any personal accountability in his picks or his belief in Cleveland, you also skirt around Baker Mayfield, who has, we all know this, a million coaches in about four seasons in the NFL, but the fact is he has not performed. What is at stake tonight and this season for Baker Mayfield, Tim?
Well, I mean, that's a legitimate, I don't know if it's a reason or an excuse. I think it's a bit of a reason when you've had that many different people running your offense. You know, just 3 in 3 years in Cleveland, changes every year. That's an issue. But, I mean, that can't, when you're the number one pick, when you're on a commercial every half hour in every sporting event that we watch, you have to raise your level of accountability. He can't deal with that. He's got to be good this year.
Yeah, I'm hearing about the commercials, and I get that part of it from you guys. But talk to me about on the football field, 5 yards per pass attempt, his one leg's over here, one arm's over here while he's throwing. He's not even set back there. What are we talking about here, Clinton, with Baker Mayfield? Does he need in the next 5 or 6 games to prove he can be a starting quarterback in this league?
What do I tell you guys all the time? Quarterback is the worst coached position in the league, and Baker Mayfield is the perfect example of it. Can't seem to find a way to get the ball to OBJ as much as he should. I realize that Landry is a big part of that offense, but it's a consistency thing. He doesn't ever seem to be able to deliver the ball in the same space at the same rate, and it's just a problem that comes, I believe, with talent and reps. He needs to get better, and that's something that he probably wants to do tonight.
And then tonight, on the opposite side of the field, is Joe Burrow, who's coming off his first career game, but he's coming off of a Heisman Trophy, and he's coming off being the number one in the pick. These things Baker Mayfield knows about. Jackie, if I had to ask you, who would you rather have for the future right now? Would it be Burrow, or would it be Baker Mayfield?
I'm calling shenanigans on you, Tony. Shenanigans.
Okay, let me hear it.
One NFL game.
Oh, shame I know that.
You. How can you possibly make a determination after the kids play just one game? I refuse to answer. Mute me all you want. Sorry.
I'm not going to mute you for it, but it's a fair question to ask. You don't think it's a fair question? Fine. Tim, did I just break the rules here?
There's no rule breaking. I can make a determination for Jackie. Joe Burrow, that's the guy you want. I'm not dismissing Baker Mayfield, but what Joe Burrow did last year at LSU has never been done.
Sounds like you're dismissing Baker Mayfield.
He's got receivers. He's going to be good this year.
Clinton, can I ask you this question, or am I a lawbreaker here?
Yes. Baker Mayfield, bigger star. Joe Burrow, better football player. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to make a pick for tonight, Clinton.
One NFL game. One game he's
played. Yeah, Jackie, we understand that. That is self-evident.
This is the life we chose.
This is the business you chose.
My inner Bob Ryan. Yeah. February. Yeah. That's what I feel like.
All right. We make a pick for tonight's game, so I know to mute somebody or give points. I like to give points here. It's just that your picks never necessarily. I mean, you did get Justin Thomas after a half a day here at the U.S. Open, Jackie. I should remind myself of that. But can we pick the football game? Jackie, who you got tonight?
I will take the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tim Kalishaw?
It's going to be tougher than, you know, certain people think when they try to pick these games, but Cleveland will win.
Clinton Yates.
I think the Houdays and Cincy are going to pull this bad boy out. I really do.
We'll move on. Heat Celtics game two. Let's get inside it right now. What does Bam Adebayo have for an encore? Is he going to block a ball with his armpit tonight? Celtics got worked and uncreative in the fourth quarter in overtime. That Tatum last shot in regulation, when you do nothing for 15 seconds and hoist away, that's the worst play in basketball. Jackie Mack, what adjustments do the Celtics need to make tonight to even the series?
They've got to move the ball, Tony. It really is that simple to me, especially down the stretch. And you mentioned the Tatum shot. But what about the Kemba Walker shot where he was up drilling at the top of key and then drove into a teeth of guys who are all about a foot taller than him? These guys, when they move the ball, that's at their best. You can see how much they miss Gordon Hayward, who is their best facilitator. And here's the other thing. How about giving Jaylen Brown a look or two? I can remember two occasions when Celtics players came down. Jaylen Brown was open in the corner, and they jacked up a three. I want Jaylen Brown to get a few more touches.
Yeah, he didn't have, it seemed, he had a tip-in. He didn't have anything else in the fourth quarter, looks-wise. Clinton Yates, you can answer from Boston's perspective.
Really.
Yes, from Boston's perspective. Or you can go the other way and talk about Miami here. I just asked Jackie Boston because that's where she's based. But please, go ahead.
This is all about Walker to me. In the last three games, look, he has scored 38 points total, 28% field goal percentage, and 3-for-22 from the three-point line. He's given up 71 points, 52% from the field goal percentage, and 14-of-25 from 3 points. Not great, Kem Bob. All right, you need to get it together. That's what I'm saying. This guy is one of the best players on that team. Top to bottom, their talent is better than the Heat. That's what I was saying earlier this year. But if their best guys aren't performing, it doesn't matter. They need Kemba badly to get back in this series.
Good stat work from Clinton Yates. Tim Kalishaw?
Kemba Walker's a really good player, but when you got Jimmy Butler switching on to you and then Jay Crowder switching on to you and other guys that can defend, Miami can defend. We continue to really kind of underestimate what this team can do. And I think that's the hard part for the Celtics is losing the game the way they did. You talk about adjustments. They were 14 points ahead in the fourth quarter. You want to play the same game. And as Jackie said, just not collapse at the end. But, I mean, man, that's easier said than done against the Heat and that defense. But
doesn't that come down on Brad Stevens? I mean, they were so ISO-focused in the tail end of that game. And whether Stevens is calling for that or he's not, he's the coach. He says, time out. What are we doing here, guys? Let's run a few plays, Jackie.
Right. Well, I think you're going to see some adjustments tonight because he saw the same thing we did. I'm sure he went back on film. I think, too, Tony, honestly, they were trying to get Kemba Walker going. They understand how important that is. I'm going to bring this up, too. I did ask Danny Ainge about a week ago about Kemba Walker's knee. He told me it was fine. Let's not forget, when he came out of the bubble, he was still telling us that that knee was still bothering him. Now, he hasn't said much since. But I'm going to wonder aloud about that. Okay. Yes, I am.
Can I ask for a pick in this game? Or since it's only been one game in this series, we're not allowed to do this, Jackie Mack. What do you think? Yell it out. Just tell me who you got, Celtics or Heat. Celtics or Heat, who you got?
Me?
Heat.
Oh, wow. That'll
I'll take the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you will. We'll move on. The headline in the Philly Inquirer today: are the Sixers and D'Antoni serious or just flirting? Keith Pompey with sources saying D'Antoni backed away from Indy a little bit when it looked like he might be going there when Philly swept in, and now he'd have to bomb the interview with Philly to not get a job offer. Clinton, could D'Antoni solve this Sixers enigma?
I mean, if D'Antoni can somehow get Ben Simmons to start shooting threes, then he could probably solve a whole lot of things that we can solve in America. I don't necessarily know that this is going to be that easy of a gig. I know that he talked about going to the Pacers job, but that whole question to me is what makes this difficult. What's going to happen with Simmons? Do you know if Embiid is going to really care about this in terms of the way that you need for him to execute? I don't know that this is that simple, even if it's a more prestigious gig from a franchise standpoint than, say, Indiana. This is going to be a tricky one for D'Antoni, but that's what he does well, and he's done it for years in the NBA.
How do you read it, Jackie, the idea of D'Antoni and Philly and the culture shift that would have to come with D'Antoni coaching a team like Philly's roster is currently constituted?
Well, you know, it's funny. You mentioned Ben Simmons, but think about it, Clinton. What does Ben Simmons do better than anyone? Success in the open court. No one can stop him when Ben Simmons is going downhill in transition. So maybe there is a place for him in the D'Antoni system. I think D'Antoni is one of the most innovative coaches around. I can understand why he's looking over at Philly and saying, wow, two future Hall of Famers? I'd like a crack at that. Makes sense to me.
Oh, it does make sense. Tib Kalishaw, does it make sense to you?
I think it makes sense. I think it's worth a shot. I think all of this is kind of based on the Sixers' hope, hey, Brett Brown was a problem. We get a good coach here, and it's going to be fixed, and that's a little phony. But the question would be, can Embiid become a player, not exactly, but a little like Stoudemire, who can really excel in a more wide-open game than you would expect? I'm not saying he's going to be the same guy, but if he can, as Jackie said, that's Simmons' game, that's D'Antoni's game. Let's see what happens.
You think so? You think Simmons and D'Antoni work? And Jackie, the Amari Embiid comparison Tim just made, does that fly with you?
Yeah, I understand what Tim is saying, but I just, you know, here's the other thing. It's pie in the sky. I'm not saying it could happen, but maybe if you bring in D'Antoni, you explore moving on from one of those guys. I don't think the Sixers will either, but who knows?
Elton Brand said that wasn't in the cards, at least for this offseason. The interesting thing about it all is this is a team that can't get over the hump, and then you bring in D'Antoni. You know, he's been a great coach. He's coached more teams than anybody, I think, in NBA history. But he hasn't gotten the title like Tyronn Lue has or someone. All right, taking a break right here. It's been one segment. Is that enough for us to think about who might win the show, Jackie? Ooh, look at those scores. Fire
yourself next. I'll get back to you, Tony.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Dodgers clinched a playoff spot last night. First team to do so. Dave Roberts didn't even know it. And there was no celebration, as Dustin May said, we're not allowed to. Baseball has asked teams not to celebrate with champagne and beer and keep social distance and masks on. What does LA's clinching and taking 2 of 3 from San Diego mean here, Timmy?
It means that in a season that started in late July, the Dodgers are still capable of clinching early. They're the only team that can do that. They're 20 games over 500, and they haven't played a third of a normal season. It's kind of like we just accept the fact they're going to play at about 108, 110 win level.
Consistency. Jackie Mack, how about you?
Well, it tells me that the Dodgers yet again are one of the expanded 16. Congratulations. Why would anybody pop champagne over that? Certainly
I agree
not
with you there.
The Dodgers. And I don't know that if David Roberts didn't really know it, but good for him for even saying that. He's got the right focus.
See why?
What it tells me is that this isn't just all fun and games with the Padres. This team is for real. You know how I know? Because Dave Roberts is losing psychological battles to guys Trent Grisham, and the Padres beat Kershaw for the first time in 19 starts. The Pods think they can beat them. The Dodgers are the better team, but the Padres are for real. They were like 20-7 going into this game since May. I mean, you know, the season started. You know, this is a good team. The Dodgers know that in the NL West.
So the Dodgers clinching to you is all about the Padres then. Interesting. Okay. Jackie, you're 100% right, by the way. Baseball teams previously would celebrate getting into the playoffs, clinching a spot, then clinching wild card one, then clinching the division, then clinching that one win game in the wild. But, I mean, come on. You can't do that with half the league making the postseason. We'll move on. Buy or sell to Frank Vogel in anticipation for the Western Conference Finals, saying he'll use his centers more for this matchup versus Jokic. Which center can guard this pass? This was savage. Jokic up 16 with 27 seconds left behind the head. Did Vogel say too much? How should the Nuggets combat this, Jackie?
Well, I don't think that they're going to end up using those big men as much as Frank Vogel is telling us. I would call shenanigans on him, but I don't want to upset you, Tony, so I won't do that.
No, please. I'm all for shenanigans.
The truth of it is this. The truth of this, the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis plays the five. And I know he doesn't love to play the five, but I think he'll do it in order to win a ring. Put him at the five, put Marcus Morris or Kyle Kuzma as your four, and that's going to be your best lineup against the Nuggets.
Okay, I don't want anything misconstrued here. I am a pro shenanigan host, okay? Construe that, please. Pro shenanigan. Tim Kalishaw, please.
You know, here's the deal. If he's playing his real centers a lot, it's not because they're a good matchup for Jokic. It means I don't want to get Anthony Davis in foul trouble by having him chase this guy all over the court, out of the three-point line, in the paint, wherever. So he's going to try to do that, but I think it's wishful thinking.
Glenn Yates?
How dare you all besmirch the name of JaVale McGee on his revenge tour in this moment? That's okay. 6 great fouls you can get out of him. No, in all seriousness, though, I don't think the strategy is going to matter anyway. Joker's just too good, and it doesn't matter who you put up against him, but the bodies and the fouls are going to make a difference.
That pass, with the game already over and the series already over, I mean, that is just awesome.
Awesome.
That's the stuff I'm here for. That's a shenanigan in some way, right? Yeah. We'll move on. Buy or sell 3. Bill Belichick, in his weekly availability, talking up this Sunday night game with Seattle, and he says he doesn't see any quarterback, any player in the league better than Russell Wilson, and that Wilson's way underrated by the media and fans. Is that Belichick coach speak or something more going into the Sunday night game, Clint Yates?
I actually think it's a genuinely honest response. I mean, listen, I learned this week for the first time that Russell Wilson had never gotten one single MVP vote in his career.
Is that right?
That was shocking. So for Bill Belichick to come out and say that, obviously Mina Kimes doesn't vote for it. So, you know, that's why we know that hasn't happened. You know, but what I'm saying is that that was shocking because that is true. This guy's been a great player in the league for a long time. Yeah, don't see anybody better than him because it's a fact.
TC?
I think it's mostly honesty. It's something more. I think there are people who don't recognize that Russell Wilson today is a much better player than the Russell Wilson who won a Super Bowl in his second season when they had the great Legion of Boom defense and they had Marshawn Lynch and they had a completely different style. He's a fabulous quarterback.
Jackie.
Well, Bill Belichick historically praises the opposing team before every single game, so that's in keeping with how he goes about things. But it is a little unusual for him to step outside of that and praise Russell Wilson to the extent he did. That tells me there's real respect there. Bill Belichick isn't going to say that about somebody he doesn't respect.
Whoa, those points for Jackie McMullen came in really late there. It's almost like a shenanigan of some kind, or maybe impishness or rascality of some nature. That gets Tim Kalishaw eliminated today. Wow. Kalishaw, you were so strong with the Cleveland Browns. You really held them. Yeah. Held them down. Enjoy tonight's game, Tim. And lots riding on it for you.
We all travel together, the media. Come join me.
Jeff,
come join
me. Back. Showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Clinton Yates, Jackie McMullen, good luck in Showdown. While the Dallas Stars and Tim Kalishaw wait, Tampa, New York, Game 6 tonight. Can the Lightning close it out? Or did Game 5's double overtime win get the Islanders back on track? Jackie?
So, am I wrong, but don't the Islanders remind you of the Denver Nuggets? They never say die. Their best player, John Tavares, went to Toronto Maple Leafs thinking he would go further with that team. Sound familiar? I've got my money on the Islanders. They're the team of destiny.
I've been talking about revenge tours today, and the Barry Trotz revenge tour continues. He presses a button last game, gets Johnny Boychuk in the game. I mean, if he hadn't played in a month, it worked. That's what he does. I know, because I've seen him do it for a team I used to root for. Or still do root for.
In your analogy, who's Tavares? Is it it's Carmelo from like a decade ago? Is that who you're talking about?
No.
For the Nuggets?
Kawhi Leonard left and went to the Clippers.
Oh, the opposite side. Okay, I'm
sorry.
Stay with
me, Tony.
It's tough sometimes. Point McMullen, we'll move on. Showdown 2. 7 games ago, the Yankees were on a streak so bad they were 500 and barely in the playoffs. Since then, they've trailed for 2.5 innings total in the week and got shutdown pitching, mashed the ball, 7 home runs last night. Are these Yankees the real Yankees we'll see in October, Clint Yates?
I think so. They're closer to it. 3 homers from a backup catcher is a great story. But the fact is that Gerrit Cole was flirting with a no-no in this, which is way more important total in terms of what the Yankees are going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Jackie?
Tony, this is not the real Yankees. You know why? Because Aaron Judge is just coming back.
Yeah.
Wait till he gets warmed up. Yeah. Then they're even going to be better.
Yeah. Judge and Stanton just came back. And I mean, they're just bringing guys back. And this winning streak was while they weren't even full. Point Clinton Yates, though, just to make this interesting, going into Showdown 3. Christian McCaffrey's GQ photos. Okay, take them in. They're immediately on the all-time list of photos that teammates will hold over you for the rest of your career. But, you know, I mean, this has worked for Pete Rose, Joe Namath in the past. It's worked for Tom Brady in the past. Should Christian McCaffrey be proud? Jackie Mack?
Are you kidding? Of course he should. I always support men who wear pastels. Look at that lavender robe, and my favorite one of all, he's putting a record on a turntable. He had me at the turntable.
Mm-hmm. Clinton?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see the landline? I'm getting a phone call. Christian, oh, I'm sorry, bro. I know. Landlines, they're really cool, dude. I know. I didn't pick you for my fantasy team. We're done with the colonizers, so sorry. Gotta go.
Landline.
Yeah, McCaffrey, smart guy. He's got a landline.
Landline. All right. But that was Woody Page material at best. Boy, Jackie McMullen, Showdown goes to Jackie McMullen. Here's your FaceTime, Jack.
Thank you so much, Tony. So the World's Women's Cup of Tennis was always called the Fed Cup. No longer. They have renamed it the Billie Jean King Cup. I have never been so more thrilled about anything. This is a major, major, wonderful thing for Billie Jean King, who was part of the original 9, actually the leader of it, that broke off for women's tennis to fight for equal pay and equal wages with the Virginia Slims Tour. This is a long overdue honor. Billie Jean King, the great pioneer. So congratulations from all of us.
She was also in the news this week because she went to the U.S. Open and couldn't get in because she wasn't on the list. What's the name of the center? The Billie Jean King Center.
The Billie Jean King Tennis Center.